If you're sick in your body, if you're addicted to drugs, alcohol, if you need a touch from Jesus tonight, don't be ashamed. All of us stand in need of a touch from the Lord from time to time. The shame is if you stay that way. And if you need a touch, I want you to stand to your feet. It takes guts, and you got to be serious. But I want you to stand to your feet. Christian, are you praying? Full. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Sweet Jesus, Savior of our souls, healer of our bodies, deliverer of our addictions, we come to you tonight in need of a touch from the Master's hand. And Lord, we just simply ask you to move across this auditorium in the hearts of these that stand tonight and do what only you can do. We ask you to do a miracle in their lives, to heal their bodies, cancer cells to dry up and to die. Addictions to meth, to alcohol. We come against you in the name of Jesus. We bind the strong man. We curse you that the chains would be broken by the power of and by the name of Jesus. We ask you for this miracle, Lord. Heal our sick bodies, disease and infirmities. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated. Now, we want to hear your testimony. We want to hear what God has done for you. You know that old song says, I don't know what you've come to do, but I've come to praise the Lord. I'm not here to put on a show. I'm not here to play church. I want you to know there's an old song that says, souls are crying, men are dying. Won't you lead them to the cross? Go out and win, rescue from sin. Win the lost at any cost. Jesus himself says, I've not come for the healthy. They have no need of a physician. But I've come to those that are battered and bruised and broken, bleeding and hurting, lonely and depressed and oppressed, possessed. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I've come to set at liberty them that are bound. I have come for this purpose, has he come, to destroy the works of the evil one. I want you to know there is an adversary called the devil. He wants to torment your life and destroy you eternally. And he's good at his job. But there's a Christ that says, I love you. And I set before you life and death. Oh, won't you choose life? Won't you experience my peace in this world of chaos and trouble on every hand? Come. Come. And I believe the Lord touched some of you just a moment ago when you stood. We're going to give you an opportunity. You know, I'm going to step out on a limb right here. The ultimate goal for each of us is to be saved and in right relationship with the Lord. That's the ultimate goal. But I see in God's Word so many times where Jesus dealt with the need first, and then he dealt with the spiritual issue. He'd heal someone, and then he'd say, "Now go and sin no more. Just stay up here, Nathaniel. I'm not going to be long." Mark chapter 2, if you have your Bible. Mark chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1. Then at the end of chapter 1, Jesus had healed a man of leprosy, and he told him not to go show himself to the priest, not to tell anybody, but to go show himself to the priest, which was customary back then. It followed the law. The priest had to pronounce them clean. But this man, he was so excited about being set free from his leprosy that he wasn't obedient to Jesus, and he went spreading it out wherever he wanted to. And this created a situation for Jesus in that he couldn't go into the towns openly anymore because, well, put it quite honest, they were pretty ticked off about it. We pick up in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. And they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when he could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven you.' And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, 'Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?' But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were reasoning thus within themselves, he said unto them, 'Why do you reason about these things in your heart? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven you," or to say, "Arise, take up your bed and walk"? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, 'I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house.' And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out into the presence of them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, 'We never saw anything like this.' Truly a miracle has transpired in this story. Verse 2, Jesus was preaching the word to them. That's what had drawn the crowds. He's preaching the word. Preaching the word, preaching the word. I cannot put enough emphasis on you knowing the word of God. The word is a light unto your path, a lamp unto your feet. The word builds your faith. The word gives you, it's an instruction manual as far as how to handle certain situations. The word God esteems so much so that he says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will endure forever." He goes on to say that my word will accomplish that which I have sent it to do. The word. That's why the devil tries so hard to make you so sleepy when you try to read the word. Faith comes by what? Hearing the what? Word. The more of the word that you get in you, the more your faith grows, the more spiritually strong you become, the more of a threat you are to the devil and his helpers, the more of a threat you are to him, that so that you could live victoriously. You need to sit over here. Come on. So the word is essential to your success as a child of God. It's an absolute necessity for you to grow, be strong, be encouraged, be a person of faith. It's absolutely imperative that you get into the Word. But I want to talk to you tonight about these four men. This is what I feel like the Lord has laid on my heart to challenge you, the people that come to Open Range, with this. And it's about reaching out. It's about evangelism. And I want to learn some things from these folks here real quick, right after I get a sip of water. I got a tickle in my throat. Maybe I should have hit that high note with Skeeter and might have blown it on out of there. First thing I'd like to call your attention to is in verse 3, how they had a heart for the needy. See, when they had heard that Jesus was in the house, they didn't just come by themselves. These four men knew that this guy on this cot, the stretcher, this paralytic, that he was needy. And so when they came, they brought him. When we come to church, whether it's here or some other church, we need to constantly be obedient to what the Lord would speak to us as he would impress someone upon us. Maybe it's someone at work or someone we go to school with or a fellow athlete or a fellow cowboy. But we need to constantly and always be alert to who can I bring to church with me today? Who can I put in the presence of the Lord to where they might hear a word of life that will challenge and change their heart and the direction they're headed? They had a heart for the needy. Do you? You see, he said that the world would know us by our love, our compassion, our concern. Unfortunately, we've gotten so busy in today's society, all of us, we've gotten so busy that if we don't make time for God or to do what God lays on our heart and presses us to do, if we don't make time for it, we won't have time for it. None of us, including the preachers. We have to always be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit and respond in an obedient way. So we got to have that heart for the needy. And then secondly, in verse 4, they did what they could. When they got there, excuse me, and couldn't get near the house because of the crowd, they didn't let that deter them. You know, well, I'm not going to go there. They didn't let that deter them. What did they do? They went up on the roof. They began to peck away at the ceiling tiles until they got a hole in the roof. Don't be easily disheartened. Don't be easily in your personal walk with the Lord or in your attempt to be a witness for the Lord to others, or in your obedience to him to be a servant to the people. Don't be easily disheartened. I think I can say with relative certainty that when you've heard the Lord and you begin to be obedient to do what the God has spoken to you to do, you can count on the devil. Scripture says that he'll come immediately to try to steal from you what God has spoken to you. Has anybody ever discovered that beside me? One way to know that you're doing the right thing, I'll use an example today. Susie, she's gone, took a trailer and truckload of stuff down to South Louisiana to the flood victims. By the way, thank each of you who have helped, and many of you did so much. We want to thank you. I was looking at the trailer and I said, Susie, you got a spare? Got to looking, no spare. So we pulled the spare off. Duke measured the hole pattern and it matched. So we pulled the spare off of one of my horse trailers over there and sent a spare with her. Well, she got to Simsboro. That's over there about Arcadia. She called. She sure was glad she had a spare, because she'd had a blowout on that trailer. Bought her, got it changed, and got up to Ruston. Wasn't it Ruston, Duke? Somewhere over there, and she had another one. Yeah, she did. And I think you get the picture. I don't have to ride this all the way out. Now, here is a woman that God spoke to. Being obedient. You were obedient. We were obedient. We fill a trailer full of stuff to go to hurting, suffering people, most of whom have lost everything that they have. And guess what? Before she gets to Jackson, Mississippi, and she went that way to go down because of the church that we were working with, just all kind of issues and problems. But guess what? She overcame. She persevered. And that's my point to you. Don't be easily disheartened when the devil comes to try to stop you from doing what God has spoken to you to do. Press forth. Do what you can. And after you've done what you can, the third thing is in verse 5. They worked in faith. And I know that they worked in faith, because when Jesus, after they cut the hole in the roof and lower this man down, says that when Jesus saw their faith, when Jesus saw their faith, that's an important thing right here. I don't know that the man had faith for himself or not. I don't know. It doesn't mention that. But it says when Jesus saw their faith, he healed that man. It's important for us to realize and to recognize that God honors our faith for others oftentimes. Don't you stop praying for that wayward child or grandchild that's out there acting like a total idiot. Don't stop praying. God will honor your prayers. Something will happen along the way to get their attention. Believe. Believe. Trust God. Then we see in verse 12, the miracle where 11 and 12, where Jesus told him to take up his bed and walk, and he did, and he went, and he's healed. But I want you to notice something. The real miracle is in verse 5, where he said, your sins are forgiven. And I believe some of you are going to be healed, or have already been healed tonight, that stood for healing a while ago. I believe some of you have been delivered from drugs tonight, alcohol tonight, possibly cigarettes, chewing tobacco, whatever. I don't know what you stood for. But I know this, I know God knows your heart, and if you were serious, he's going to touch you, he's going to help you. But what about your sin issue? Would you bow your head for just a moment? We're going to close.